Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to another episode of Growing Up the Same. I'm your host, Trevon Edwards, joined by my co-host, Jason Madison. And we're joined with a special guest, Corey Towns.
What's happening? Now, Corey is a creator and a DJ, born and raised in Philly, currently resides in Brooklyn, and he's also the creator of Function Worldwide. Welcome, Corey. I'm going to start this off with my segment. It's called One or the Two.
Okay.
You rapid fire, you tell me which one you like.
Okay, I'm with it. Let's get it.
Game Boy or Game Gear?
Game Gear.
Jim Carrey or Adam Sandler?
Adam Sandler. Ooh. Adam Sandler.
All right. Wild Wild West or After Earth?
Oh, shit. Fuck. Wild Wild West, because I've seen Wild Wild West. I never saw After Earth. I heard too many things.
Yeah.
that's funny.
Power Rangers or Transformers?
Transformers.
Cassidy or Gilly the Kid?
Cassidy.
Kobe as the number 8 or the 24?
24.
Carter 1, 2, or 3?
Shit. Carter 3. Okay. Carter 2.
All right. A free house for a year or free traveling for a year?
Free house.
Questlove or DJ Premier?
Shit. Questlove.
Turntables or CDJs?
Turntables.
LLC Twitter or Woke Twitter?
Woke Twitter. Woke Twitter got Dr. Umar, man. Like, what? LLC Twitter don't got nothing for that.
Final Fantasy or Tekken?
Tekken.
The Tesla Model X or the new Ford Bronco?
Ford Bronco.
Napster or LimeWire?
LimeWire, for sure.
Edgerrin James or Ricky Williams?
Ooh, shit, at the edge.
For the whole world to have Wi-Fi everywhere or for $1K a month for everyone?
$1K a month.
Okay. Dinner with Jay-Z or 50K?
Man, you better give me that 50K.
Just checking.
Big guy. I'm living, man. I'm still paying rent, man. This shit is crazy. Give me that 50.
I feel you. Bad Boy or Death Row?
Bad Boy.
Crooklyn or Baby Boy?
Baby Boy.
Pam or Gina?
Pam. Pam had the ham.
Pam had the yams.
Pam had the yams, the ham. Pam was the wham. Pam.
East Coast or West Coast?
East Coast. Sorry.
Rick Ross or 2 Chainz?
Ross. Ross got that tonight, boy. Ross. I called my roommate maybe like 20 minutes ago, man. And he was just like, man, I cut on Mafia music. I don't know what you play after that. And I was just like, right. I don't like that matchup. That's not a good matchup for 2 Chainz.
You got too many, dog. Just the records with Drake alone. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could just get slappy with 4 or 5 of them. Then, like, he goes into the albums. He got mixtapes. He got Khaled songs. He got, you know what I'm saying?
Ross got too many different types of records.
Yeah.
I feel like too many different types of records. I feel like 2 Chainz, by and large, 2 Chainz got records. I don't want that to go.
I was going to step Chainz in. He no, got 70% of the radio, by the way.
No, 2 Chainz got records. But I think, and I've noticed this with the entire Versus concept, it's a mix. Whoever wins is a mix of a bunch of things. Song right. selection, how and when they play it, you know, a certain sense of nostalgia to it. Like when I know, I wouldn't be surprised. I could see him not playing it. But if 2 Chainz played like Pop That, I mean, I'm sorry, if Ross played Pop That,
right.
Like right. everybody's going to think back to that summer when Pop That came out, which was crazy.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know. I think Ross has too many different types of records that, and it's kind of like everyone praises Rick Ross for his beat selection. So it's kind of like people ain't really hitting 2 Chainz with that.
Right. And we already know, like, Chainz got shit. You know what I'm saying? But like you said, it's more so all in one wave. The club. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's like, it's all club shit. Yeah, like,
Yeah, like,
and I'm not saying he doesn't have, you know, introspective records or anything like that. What you kind of got to look at it from who you're playing to. You're playing for the people. Like, you can't necessarily just play for, you know, your fans and stuff like that. But I mean, it's going to be entertaining. Like, I'm definitely, when this shit is over, I'm about to go get make me a drink and tune in. But no, that game was fun as hell. That shit was fun.
Glad you fuck with it.
For sure.
All right. So, from our previous conversation, Corey.
Yeah.
You know, we all grew up the same because we all like toys. But yep. What was some of your favorite toys growing up?
Listen, G.I. Joe action figures.
Okay.
G.I. Joe action figures for me was like, it was the most versatile toy anybody could get because they came in all sorts of, like, you know, not necessarily sizes. And I ain't talking about like the big 12-inch joints. I mean like the little small kind of like
figures.
Yeah, like the actual like figures or whatever. And, you know, like, there's just this mad versatile, bro. Like, you know, as a kid, you got a heavy imagination. You are creating scenarios with them and stuff like that. Like, I remember, and I will never forget this. So I used to get the little G.I. Joe action figures, the G.I. Joe men or whatever, all the time. My grandmother, may she rest in peace. You know, back around like Christmas, you know, that's when, you know, the brochure would come around, come to get mailed to the crib. And like, you know, she always hit me. My grandma was my dog. She'd be like, you know, hey, circle what you want. And I'd just be like, all right, bet. So I remember one year, I don't know if it was like some off-site company or something, but there was a company that was not G.I. Joe, but made like action figures like that. And like for the amount, for the same amount that you could buy maybe like 10 G.I. Joe men with the name brand, you could get a box that was like this big, stocked to the brim of them joints. And my grandma saw that shit and bought me that joint, bro. I was in heaven forever. Cause like I ain't need nothing else. It was just mad like characters and stuff like that. But like if I had to pick one toy in life, it was definitely that.
I would have to say, me growing up, I'm like 2 years older than you. The Power Ranger, Ninja Turtle, and I forgot who else, where you push the button and the head flip. Like, where it changed, where you could push the head into the chest.
Yeah, that was like VR Troopers, I think?
Yeah, well, nah, he just was, I don't even know, like, I guess, I don't know if Mattel ran that, but whoever it was that was all in that parent company, they had those same figures where you push the back, and then the head ducks, and then it turns into something else, or you can just kind of flip it in. And them joints was good money, and they had the Kung Fu Ninja Grip, you know what I'm saying, where you could put the little weapons in there, and... Man, it was really exciting time to be a kid. Jason, what toys did you have?
No, I like the Power Rangers too. I was gonna mention that with the flip.
Yeah,
I was a Lego kid for sure. I fucked with all Legos.
Yeah, Legos go hard.
You know what I'm saying? Building shit with the Legos. But I like the Transformers also for the versatility, because you can have a car and you got an action figure. You flip that Optimus Prime, that Bumblebee up. You know what I'm saying? That Jazz up. Niggas would be, you know what I'm saying, getting
niggas be angry.
Imagination would just run wild after that. The car's flying, you doing all kind of shit in the room, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I used to love to fuck with Legos because you could build something and then you could fucking crash some shit into it in the middle of the day and do, you know what I'm saying, do some other shit with it. So I always fucked with Legos.
Yeah, you step on a Lego though, your whole week over.
It's over.
And I had a bucket of Legos too. I had a bucket of Legos, too, so I used to try to build whatever was on the front of the bucket, hoping that all the pieces was in there, but it was all uneven. yeah, it was crazy, man. So, I'm an anime guy myself.
Yep.
You in an OG anime, and when you say OG anime, what do you mean by OG anime?
I was a kid, so I have an uncle. Who was 13 years older than me. And he's like, he kind of like served as like my big brother. And he kind of got me on a lot of different things of like, you know, anime movies and stuff like that. So when I say OG, it may not necessarily be like OG for the world, but I guess kind of like OG for me in a sense. So like, I remember some of my favorite movies back in the day was like, it was a joint called The Venus Wars. Was like a classic of mine, a joint that I watch all the time. Obviously Akira. I used to be really heavy, like obviously I used to like video games, and learning as a kid that, like, well, first off, like, we all, like podcast said, we all grew up the same. I didn't know that the Japanese market shitted on the American market.
Easy, like, call.
All the stuff that we had, I'm like, oh, yeah, we got the John Blaze. No, the Japanese market had the John Blaze. They had the different toys that didn't never saw the light of day over here. They had the different cartoons and stuff like that, never saw the light of day. So, like, I used to be really big into, like, obviously, like, the Street Fighters. I was definitely more Street Fighter than Mortal Kombat. Like, mm-hmm. Mortal Kombat was okay, but it felt a little too, like, no pun, like, cartoony for me. Street Fighter was the shit. So when I learned that, like, they actually had, like, Street Fighter animes and mangas and, like, shows and movies and stuff, that's the stuff I used to watch. Like, I remember, I don't know if y'all remember, like, Fatal Fury? Yep. Not Fatal Fury.
Final Fight?
Final Fight, like, King of Fighters and stuff,
yeah,
like
King
that.
King of Fighters, yeah. 95 and all that.
So, like, I used to watch, they have, like, a series of, like, three movies that I used to watch, like, OD. And then there was, like, the other stuff. So it was, like, the Dragon Ball Zs. I didn't really get jiggy with, like, the Sailor Moons, you know, obviously. But, like, I always remember that kind of being on. Ronin Warriors was my shit. Like, that was, like, my shit. Yeah, I kind of like stuff like that. So, like, when I said the phrase, like, OG anime, I kind of meant it for the time. Like, I didn't grow up and my love for anime kind of stayed the same of finding new stuff. So, like, you know, like, the One Punches and, like, all the stuff that kind of is out, like, now. I kind of stayed in that little, like, bubble of, like, yeah, this is stuff that I like to rock with and stuff like that.
How you feel about anime being popular now, right? Because niggas used to get teased for watching anime.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, I think it's dope, man. Like, I mean, you know, I think all of that stuff, like, all the things that we used to think as kids, as young black kids, like, no matter how you grew up, whether you grew up in the hood, suburbs, whatever, like, all those things that as young black kids we looked at or was looked at as, like, incredibly nuanced, like, things that we just thought it was just us, like, oh, yeah, it's just me watching this anime, or it's just me, you know, listening to this, you know, alternative music, or, like, watching the MTVs and shit like that. For all that shit to become popular, I think it's dope. Like, you know, you're right. We used to get teased like shit.
We just could not be coming to school listening to Blink-182.
Right. Let me tell you, yo.
Rolling with that.
I remember I had a phase. It might have been, like, maybe seventh grade, that, like, this was, like, prime time peak MTV, like, MTV programming. So, like, the spring breaks, all the shit that used to come on, like, the late night, like, the singled out, you know, all that stuff, just all the programming that used to come out that time. I fell for that music hard because I was just like, yo, I don't know why I like this.
Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah. Artist, like, cut, say what? Ultrasound.
Yes.
Like, all that. 12 Angry Viewers.
Like, because if not for nothing else, it just, like, it introduced me to a different type of music. You know, in the hood, it was labeled as white people music. But, like, all in all, it's like it's alternative. It was rock. And I remember at that point in time, like, in the early 2000s, that's when a lot of those bands used to use, like, rap shit in it. So, like, you had a band like a Blink-182. You had bands like Sum 41. Like, you had bands that, like, you know, like the Korns. And I ain't go, like, Slipknot far. That was a good one.
Shouts to Slipknot.
But like the Korns and stuff like that. And, you know, you would hear this shit. I'm like, yo, bro, this don't sound like, yeah, it sounds like rock, but, like, niggas is rapping. Like, no lie.
Bro, I was fucking with all of that. Korn was hard.
Like, yeah. I don't know if it was true, if they was really racist. I remember hearing that as a kid and being like, oh, I fell off their set. But, like, right. Korn was hard back in the day. Like, nah. I remember
Jonathan Davis got a remix of Year 2000 with Exhibit. I don't know if you remember that song.
No, so I don't remember that exact record. But, yeah. Like, I do remember Korn and Exhibit did some shit. And you figure, like, Limp Bizkit had, like, the Roland rap remix.
Right.
Or, like, the Roland rock remix. Like, they were bringing rap music into their stuff. Like, the song Butterfly by Crazy Town, I don't know why that shit bangs with me so crazy. Right. I loved that record when it first came out. And then come to find out, like, there's an end of the song that a guy is DJing on. It turned out to be DJ AM. You know what I'm saying? Like, who's a legend? You know what I'm saying? And, like, learning that later in life, I'm like, oh shit, I never knew that. it kind of just showed that, like, back in those times, like, yeah, like, it wasn't just me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because that was the thing. It was always like, yeah, I'm probably, you know, I'm the only one of my friends who's listening to this or watching this or things of the sort. So, like, for now, for that stuff to be popular, man, that's just dope.
Yeah, right? I'm going to have to blame Tony Hawk for my discovery of that music, because it was definitely just kind of, you know, main menu screen stuff or player selection and sometimes free runs and stuff like that. And I was just overly like, okay, this shit not too bad.
It ain't that bad. You start listening to it, because at first you go into it like, man, I just want a skateboard, bro, and that's it. Then you start playing it, you be like, man, this shit all right.
I mean, that's how I got kind of crazy about Paramore, and you know what I mean? Like,
yo, black people love Paramore.
Yeah. Them and what's the other band, bro? I fuck with Maroon 5 hard, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know.
Their first album.
And the funny thing is, man, is that, like, if you actually start looking into, like, who was literally making the music back then, it wasn't just, like, they had a lot of, like, if not black collaborators, people who worked in black music to, right. Like, oh, shit, like, yeah, like, you know, whether it's producers, whether it was this, whether it was that, like, you know, even if you look at, like, the whole boy band era, it's like, you could tell... Like, I don't know. I've never been a Backstreet Boys dude. I was always an NSYNC nigga, because I was like, I don't know why NSYNC sound like they got a little bit more soul. And all then, right. Now that you look, come on in. It's my little brother. Got my little brother in the building. You can sit down. Chill, nigga. But nah, then, you know, then you got a situation where it's kind of like, you know, like you start listening to the NSYNCs and stuff like that. And you'd be like, oh, all right, I could rock with them or whatever. Then I remember when NSYNC dropped, what was that, Gone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yo, like, I don't know if they did that on every radio station, but I never forget in Philly, on if we had a radio station, Power 99, which was like the main hip-hop and R&B station. I remember one night, they were like, we're going to play this new record. We want everybody to tell us what you think. And they played Gone. And, like, I remember people called up, and they was like, yo, that record's so hard. That record is fire. This, this, and this. Like, who was that? And da, da, da. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's NSYNC. And everybody was kind of like, what? Like,
yeah,
that was NSYNC.
Yeah.
It kind of just shows, man, like, yo, man, stuff comes around. And, like, yeah, for folks to kind of have impact on that now, or, like, for that to kind of come back around, I'm with that.
Calling yourself an NSYNC nigga is funny. Like, yo, I'm an NSYNC nigga. That's a sick-ass type, to be honest. Like, that's hilarious to me. But to transition off of this, the last topic before we hop into some quick-hitter questions was NCAA football. Was you just an all-around college football fan? Are you talking about the video games? Or are you specifically talking about a specific team in your area?
Yeah, so, and it's funny, too, because as I listened to the question, I probably would have changed my answer a little bit. So, like I said, I was really big. Like, I got introduced to a lot of shit from my uncle. And the first sport I ever fell in love with was hockey. Like OD. Like, I played hockey. Like I played rollerblade hockey on ice hockey, like, the whole nine. Like, I fell in love. Like, I like football and basketball, for whatever reason, I just really wasn't messing with it. I think in hockey, I like the fact that you could hit people hard as shit. They was fighting. Like, that was kind of what drew my initial interest to it. So, was it
a Ducks thing?
You said what?
Was it a Mighty Ducks thing?
Or no, it was actually before the Mighty Ducks. Like, back in, like, the early to mid-90s, like, you know, the Flyers had, you know, like the Flyers was all right. We didn't win the chip, but, yeah, like, we had good players. We had guys like Eric Lindros, John LeClair, stuff like that. So, like, you know, we had dudes. And I remember, like, video games really got me into it, because I was always by the NHL 94, NHL 95. Classic.
That's the greatest game of all time, honestly.
Dog. So, like, and, like, for me, you know, just with, you know, my dad being who my dad is, he had partnerships with EA Sports. So he would come home with the bag of all the games.
That's,
like,
killer.
Every single game. And, like, I would always just have him play them shits. So hockey was my first thing. I started getting into football through college football. It was something about, like, and I couldn't necessarily categorize it at the time, but it was something about, like, the pageantry of it, the energy of it, like, you know, that you could really feel this sense of rivalry that wasn't, you know, just kind of like, oh, I just play for this team now. We just don't like each other. Boom, boom, boom. You know, but it was really on some shit. Like, yeah, man, like, college football was ill. Like, I never forget, like, you know, seeing Florida and Florida State always play. And, like, being from Philly, because Philly doesn't have, like, a distinct, like, college. Like, we had Temple, but Temple football sucked. And right. Penn State is halfway across the state. So, like, we don't really rock with them like that. So it allowed me to kind of be a fan of the sport. Right. And then, you know, I fell in love with it. Like, you know, and I became a kid that just, like, knew mad random facts and, like, knew players very fast. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, that's Chaffee Fields. He was a wide receiver at Penn State. Or that's Peter Ward. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember Anquan Boldin in college, who was a beast. Like,
yeah, he's a beast. I'm a Niners fan, so I was, oh, man, okay. When he got on my squad, bro, I was so excited. And I just used to call him Big and Strong because I'm like, my nigga's just strong as fuck.
Bro, and, like, knowing what I know now, he wasn't necessarily the fastest.
Yeah.
But when you looked at him, yo, Anquan Boldin was ripped. Yeah. So, like, he catching that shit, and he might, like, stiff arm you. Like, he might go and juke you. He's not going to do all the fly shit, but he was a horse. Yeah, and, like, dog. But then you had guys like him, and you had guys like Peter Ward, who, to this day, I don't know how he didn't become Peter Ward was it. Like, I remember watching the Randy Moss documentary to find out that Peter Ward, Randy Moss, and I forgot the other dude's name on Florida State. That fast. It was Peter Ward. It was somebody. It was the dude who was with Peter Ward. Like, it was the one and two. And when Randy Moss was supposed to go to Florida State, them three dudes on the same team would have been nuts.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Like, I found myself really getting into football. Like, I was into football with the University of Miami 2001 team.
Okay.
So, like, that's, like, that was, you know, Sean Taylor, Jonathan Vilma, Ken Dorsey, Willie McGinnis, Frank Gore, Andre Johnson, Santana Moss, Mike Rumpf, like, all those dudes. Like, yeah, college football was it back in the day.
Jason, are you an SC guy?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I, you know, Pete was fortunate enough to come actually recruit a couple guys at my school when we was playing.
Oh, shit.
And I played wide receiver. I wasn't that good. I was just fast. And my DB coach, went to U of O. So he was like, you got grades. And I was like, yo, I don't want to play football, though. Like, because I was playing, but, like, I could turn something into, like, you know, obviously Hail Mary routes. They were using me like D-Jack.
Yeah.
So I was off of it because, like, our medical staff wasn't, like, up to par in Compton. It was kind of like, man, you got a headache, like, take aspirin and go back in. But I, like, low-key had, like, three concussions. I was just a little cat. So I was off that shit. But, like, got to meet Pete Carroll and all that other stuff because I had the grades. So I got a chance to talk to him. All
right.
But that 05 team.
That was, like, Mike Williams.
Reggie Bush. Matt Miner. And all those dudes. Yeah. They was so OD. And then, obviously, just cracking from the city and, like, me going to another school. It was kind of odd because I actually went to a D1. And then rooting for SC was just kind of bugging me out. But, you know, I had to represent the crib. But, yeah, college football is the shit, you know, Jason to know.
That was my freshman year of college, bro. Yeah. And that was the most amazing shit to ever see and be a part of. I only applied to two schools, and USC was one of them. You know what I'm saying? They waitlisted me, whatever. But I ended up going to school at LMU, like, right down the street. So, and we didn't have no football team.
So,
so it's like I was already an SC fan anyway. You feel me? So we had Reggie Bush, nigga. Like, this nigga's the best football player I ever seen. You feel me? I'm like, what? Like, I'm going up to SC every weekend. Like, nigga, I feel like I went there. Yeah. I'm like, these niggas on. You feel me?
Yeah, they was on. They had the city cracking.
They was it. And, like, I mean, it's funny because I think one of the main things that I did like about – that I've always liked about college football kind of over the pros is kind of like the disparity, right? Like, you know, obviously recruiting is a thing, of course, and stuff like that. But it's like, you know, back in like – in the 10 years from the 90s to the 2000s, pretty much the same teams always won in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it was the Patriots in the 2000s, but like – it was mad Cowboys. I'm an Eagles, diehard Eagles fan, so fuck the Cowboys. So, like, I ain't really trying to watch that shit, bro. Whereas, like, every year, somebody was the new John Blaze in college football. Like, you know, I remember – I never, like – I never watched USC when Troy Polamalu played there. But, like, you start getting Mike Williams, you start, because Mike Williams brought me to USC. Like, watching him, I was like, oh, shit, like, nah, like, he it. Like, the one-hand catch in the end zone where left hand ain't played today, I still remember that call. Like, then you get guys like Reggie Bush, and I'm just like, man, like, who don't want to watch something like this? Like,
right, quit playing.
Like, who don't want to watch this? Like, he moves side to side. Nobody moves side to side in football. You move north and south. But he did that. And it was just crazy, man. Like, it's crazy. I think to see those runs and see teams have those runs where, like, they were the team, like, kind of how, like, Alabama is now. But Alabama kind of seems like a dictatorship, man. Like, you know Nick Saban be giving them boys Hellcats and just being like, yo, man, just just ball out for me and you get this car and shit. But
right. That's a sick trade-off to get a Hellcat. All right. So what's the first city you bought as a kid?
What's the first CD I bought? Shit. So that's okay. No, I can answer that. The first CD I ever bought, it was a bootleg. It was Rockefeller versus D Block, when they were beefing.
Okay.
I got it from the bootleg man. Like most times, like a lot of CDs that I wanted, we had in the crib just because like I lived in a music household. So like, and I got young folks. I got young parents. So like, you know, if my mom wasn't listening to it, my dad or my stepdad wasn't listening to it, like, it would just probably be in there. But nah, Rockefeller vs. D-Block, I remember I bought that shit with my own bread, and that shit was worth every penny.
I sent Trey the, what was it, the Jadakiss or was it the Benny Siegel disc I sent you before you played that?
You sent me one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, and that battle?
Both of the disses was hard, but Jadakiss rapping over that funny-ass beat.
Down to the block, a trade off, and then I stopped the spray off. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't think a lot of people talk about. Like, you had to be of age and in that era and be fans of them to really talk about that. Like, maybe we don't talk about that now. The Jada, like the D Block versus Rockefeller beef, was crazy.
Yeah,
like. Crazy, because it was like multiple beats happening at one time. Like, you know, you had Rockefeller, you know, and then you had like Estate Property. Like, you just had a group of just niggas that rapped, and it's kind of like, yeah, Jay is a big homie. I don't like, he's off handling Nas. We'll take everybody else on, no problem. Like, and then it became a thing of like, you know, like the Lox doing the freestyle at Powerhouse, which is Philly's biggest. Like, it was Philly's biggest musical concert, like annual concert every year. Like, you came to Philly and rapped about them niggas in Philly, that was crazy. Like, State Property going up to Hot 97 with Flex, that's crazy. Like, it's, yeah.
A lot of disrespectful shit was happening, and you gotta love it. That was the vital time of hip hop. Moving on, who was your hero growing up?
My pops, for sure. You know, for me, like, you know, and for those who don't know, like, you know, my dad is DJ Jazzy Jeff. I feel like growing up for me was very unique. Like, you know, I come from Southwest Philly, which is, well, at least at the time, it was kind of like lower middle to middle class. So, like, you know, I was able to have a pretty, you know, not humble, but like, you know, down to earth, like kind of like lifestyle and stuff like that. But I was also able to see and experience things that kids my age, you know, probably never would have gotten the chance to at a young age. And those experiences kind of showed me that, you know, things were possible. Like, leaving Philly was possible. Like, to be able to do whatever it is that I want to do and to dream big was possible. Like, you know, I always tell people I knew I wasn't going to have a quote unquote regular job at an early age. And that's not me shitting on the regular jobs. It just, the same way that, you know, people are like, yo, you could go to school and be a this or a that. I knew that, like, I had an example of like, yo, if music is my thing and I want to be a musician, and that's, if I want to make it being a musician, I can do that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, to see my dad, you know, to see my dad on TV every Monday night, you know what I'm saying, was crazy. To hear my dad on the radio was crazy. It's funny enough, like, I actually didn't know, like, I was a fan of my father because he was my father most of my life. And then it took me the summer before I went to college before I found myself like really listening to all his old work. And I was just like, nah, like, yeah, he good because he my dad, but he's also like, this nigga is fire. Like, I would like him if we didn't have
family. Yeah, if he wasn't your dad.
Legit. And that's both as a DJ and as a producer. You know what I'm saying? Where I'll just be like, damn, dog, like, no, like, he's really ill. And, you know, I mean, for me to go into the journey that I've had going on, and then to essentially now kind of come full circle as a DJ, like, I taught myself how to DJ at the top of last year. And, you know, like, I kind of thought about doing it before. There was probably a bunch of reasons why I never really did it, but I always say that DJing found me when it was supposed to. And, right. You know, to be a DJ now and, you know, to be a DJ now as the son of, you know, one could say, I personally feel as though, no bias, the greatest DJ to ever live, like, you know, it doesn't have as many hangups as one would think. But it does, you know, it's kind of like I can look literally in the mirror and just be like, well, I can look and just be like, yo, that's what I'm trying to get to. Like, that's where I'm trying to be. You know what I'm saying? If not necessarily, it may not necessarily be the same skills or technical aspects or anything like that, but I want to have the same type of impact as he has had one day. If I can do that, I feel like I've fulfilled my purpose.
How do you personally feel about summertime?
I love it. I mean, it's funny, man. Like, I think people nowadays, and like, you know, I've learned this just, you know, in my days as a music writer, you know, people use the word like timeless and classic so much, you know, even with the podcast being called Grown Up the Same, like, Summertime is a record that people can hear and all have the same experience to and come from completely different lives. Like, Summertime might remind you of some, like, of literally summertime wherever y'all from. You know what I'm saying? Summertime for me reminds me of cookouts. You know what I'm saying? Cookouts in Southwest, cookouts in West Philly, you know, being up at the plateau. Like, I was actually like, in the video. So, like, for me, whenever I hear summertime, I think, like, oh, shit, I don't know why my mom put me in that hot-ass red hoodie, you know, for a summertime video, and all these other kids running around with shoes and shorts. Like, yeah, it may not have been that hot out, but, like, I ain't fit the vibe of the video. Like, mom, you kind of got me looking crazy out here. But, you know, it's humbling. It's humbling in a sense to kind of just be like, to see, you know, some work that, you know, my father and, you know, a member of my family has put on and still has that classic, you know, has that classic title to it. I mean, it's you know, it's humbling and it's dope. And it's something I'm very proud of. I'm very proud of him and all the work he's done. And, you know, I'm proud of Summertime and how long it's lasted.
Yeah, man. I actually was inspired by that song to make a song with my cousin Dom Kennedy called Watermelon Sunday. We love summertime.
Wait, what? What? Well, okay, hold on. Wait a minute. That's okay. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's fire.
Yeah.
Nigga, I love that song.
That's dope.
That's Jason, you know, weak ass verse.
but
yo, you know, that's fire, bro. Yo, that's what's up.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. But you know, it's crazy that I feel like for our generation, that song is kind of reaching a sort of a classic status, right?
Hell,
and
yeah.
That was our whole intent, was based off of summertime and the way it made us feel. You know what I'm saying?
That's
and
we fire. Wanted to make
people feel that same feeling, and it, you know, luckily for some people, I feel like we have. So, you know,
I feel like for songs like that, man, like, you know, I haven't gotten to the point where I'm actually creating music yet. You know, it's something that I kind of see coming, but yeah. Like, I feel like there is something very special about music in the sense and in the way that it captures moments for us, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it's summertime for some people, if it's Watermelon Sunday for others, where, you know, you remember, oh, shit, I remember that cookout where I met Shorty. And, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that was when I first met such and such. Or, oh, that was the time that this thing happened and stuff like that. Like, when you hear music like that and it immediately takes you back, like, yeah. That's the shit that's timeless. That's the shit that provides nostalgia. That's the shit that provides like those moments and those memories where it's like, yeah, people are going to be listening 20 years from now and being like, yo, Watermelon Sunday was my shit. Yo, right. Summertime was my shit. And like, it don't matter how far you've gotten from that moment, you can hear that record and you can immediately think back to that shit.
Yeah, for sure. So let me ask you this. What was it like for you growing up with Will Smith as like your uncle?
I mean, it was cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, obviously me growing up and me still living in Philly, I grew up at a time where he was out LA and literally like establishing and creating his career. So, you know, I'd be lying if I said like I saw him all the time. We hung out all the time. But one thing that I will always say about Will, especially me growing up and even now, is that when he sees me, it's still like I'm little Corey. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't like Will is very much, Will is very much from Philly. Yeah. And like, Will's a Philly nigga. Like, don't get it messed up. Like, it ain't like, you know, he's done a lot, he's achieved a lot, but like being from the crib is something that's very ingrained in him. Mm-hmm. And you see that as somebody who like, he's known all of, essentially, he's known me all of my life. You know what I'm saying? And vice versa. So, like, you know, it will always be a little weird to, like, go to the movies and see Will. And I'll just be like, man, that's Will. You know what I'm saying? Like, because to me, that's Will. Like, I don't really have that sense of, like, you know, starstruckness or, like, fandom for that. Like, he's always just been, like, kind of, like, you know, like you said, like, an uncle to me and stuff. But, you know, it's been cool. It's funny. I made a joke to my dad the other day that I was like, yeah, after Will did Ali, I never play fought with Will ever again.
Right. You like, I want to
dance. Oh, yeah, no. Because it's just like, you know, I think we were talking about how, like, how cool it is as an actor or actress that if you do some of these roles, you get these roles and, like, you have to train for them.
Yeah.
And, like, those skills don't go away, like, yeah, in the movie.
It's like, you put it on your DNA after that.
Like, because if you're doing this shit for, you know, 10 weeks, 12 weeks of training, like, I think we start talking about, like, John Wick. And I'm like, bro, can you imagine how fire it must be for Keanu Reeves, like, to train for a movie, to get a movie and to do a movie well? He had to train himself for, like how to handle guns and shoot guns and shit. Now, at this point, run up on Keanu Reeves right now and see what happened.
Got that thing on him. On Neo before that.
Get word. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, I bringing it to Will, it's like, yo, like, Will became Muhammad Ali, like, trained to be Muhammad Ali. Like, yeah, you try that, he would punch you and the shit would not be like, you crazy. Nah, he punched shit out you. That's why I was like, yeah, I ain't never doing that again.
That's funny. All right, so let me ask you, too, what was your favorite childhood memory?
Damn. My favorite childhood memory. So I got two to come to my mind off the top of my head. One was going with my dad to the 1997 NBA All-Star Weekend in Cleveland. And that was back at a time where, like, the NBA was really rocking with my pop. And, like, they would have him do a lot of, like, the celebrity shit. So, like, the celebrity game or, you know, DJing something or whatever like that. So we would always go.
Yeah.
Well, he would always go. And he took me with him to the joint in Cleveland. I remember that was Kobe's dunk contest year. That was the rookie game with, like, AI and Kobe and all them. And I remember this is not a bad good memory, but it's stupid. So I remember I was so hyped off of Kobe being from Philly adjacent, and so hyped for AI that I only wanted to go to the rookie sophomore game. I did not want to go to the All-Star game. I'm stupid. I'm incredibly stupid because I was a kid. But I remember we went to the game. And to my left, sitting next to me, was Keenan and Kel. And I'm a kid. This is when all of that is, like, peak. All right. So, like, they're like, oh, shit. Like, you know, I'm looking at them like, yo, y'all Keenan and Kel. They're going to be, like, yo, that's Jazzy Jeff. Yeah. And they're like, wait, you're Jazzy Jeff's son? So I remember Chadwick, Keenan, and Kel the whole time. In front of us was Bill Murray. And I remember Bill Murray left his scarf at the game, like after the game was over. And like somebody, without saying names, was like, yo, I'm going to get his scarf and I'm gonna take his scarf back. I'm going to give him his scarf back. Mm-hmm. And I remember he was just like, yo, I don't understand how you're going to give him a scarf back. Whatever the case, I don't know if he ever got his scarf back. But I remember because I didn't go to the All-Star game, my dad ended up in an elevator with Michael Jordan. And I think, like, you know, my dad and Mike knew each other at the time. And, like, I remember when he came back and told me, like, yeah, we was chilling with Mike before the game and stuff like that. And I'm so, like, blown, like, y'all were Michael Jordan, and I completely goofed that. So that was something I was just like, yeah, damn, that was a bad joint. But, nah, that All-Star game was really ill.
Yeah.
Second memory of mine, man, was just, like, I remember just kind of being out, the times I would have the chance to go out with, like, my dad to, like, L.A. or, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, actually, you know, we just went out to L.A. and just, like, kicked it. And, you know, I think for, you know, my dad has been blessed to have many different careers, you know, obviously as a musician, but also as a producer and creating, you know, a production studio named A Touch of Jazz, which, you know, A Touch of Jazz and the producers there pretty much shaped, you know, R&B and neo soul music in the early 2000s. Yeah, like, just, always, say it again.
Jill Scott and all that.
Yeah, Jill Scott music, Flowetry, like, basically, like, you know, Philly was very huge in the neo soul game, and we were in A Touch of Jazz, and my father was a part of that. But, you know, just having a chance to, like, you know, he's had a chance. He's been blessed with many different careers. And, you know, a lot of times, and we talked about it before, where it was just like we didn't get a chance to really kick it with each other. So for us to just kind of be out and just seeing each other and just, like, chilling and really spending that time, that was, like, that's, like, a really dope memory of mine.
All right. Well, we got one last question.
For sure.
And it's a question we ask all our guests. What advice would you give 18-year-old Corey?
Just let your passion come to you. Like, for me, thinking back to who 18-year-old Corey was, you know, it was a very influential time in my life, obviously, trying to figure out what I wanted to do, who I wanted to be. You know, I think at that time, I had spent 18 years being Jazzy Jeff's son, you know, as perceived to the world. Like, I was always been my own person, always been my own man. But, like, that was a point in time in my life where it's like, all right, dog, like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, I always used to joke and say that music kind of skipped me. Like, so, you know, people always ask, like, oh, so, you know, do you DJ or do you do music? And I'd be like, nah, man, you know, that kind of skipped me. And I think I kind of let pressures that weren't really there kind of influence me away from what I now realize is my passion. You know, like, I've been DJing for a year and a half, but, like, DJing is my life. You know what I'm saying? I think DJing is my life because, in a certain sense, DJing has always been my life. DJing, I've always been around DJing. I've always been around amazing DJs. And I, like, to see the power that people have as DJs in controlling music for other people, like, it's like some mesmerizing, like, intoxicating shit. And, you know, I kind of came into DJ and I was very kind of apprehensive with myself. Like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be good, or I don't know if I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that, you know? So I would just tell my 18-year-old self, like, yo, man, just, you know, let your passions come to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you don't have to worry about seeking shit out. You don't got to worry about figuring out who you're going to be. Who you're going to be is going to happen. And, you know, if you feel the urge to DJ, man, do that shit.
Man, that's solid right there, man. Man, thank you so much, Corey, man, for joining us.
No, listen, I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for having me. Like, I can't wait to hear this shit. You know what I'm saying? And just, you know, y'all got a supporter of me through and through, for real.